Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, always good to have you in my sights. And I want to start with the positive news because we have a scarcity of positive news in South Africa at the moment, and business confidence is on the up. Can you take me through why we are seeing people more confident given all the negativity that we are facing on a daily basis?
So, first of all, thanks, Bronwyn. Thanks for having me on your show. Business confidence is absolutely crucial to the performance of any economy. It's not just South Africa, right? If I look around, I did some time looking at a lot of countries around the world, and quite honestly, the most successful countries have high levels of confidence because, and that's the start. Confidence is included in most leading economic indicators, whether it's household or business confidence, is considered a leading indicator. You first got to have the confidence, then you start to unlock some of the investment, some of the expansion, some of the employment. And in the business community for probably the last 15 years, confidence has been way too depressed. It's had moments where it's picked up a little bit. And honestly, those moments are actually related more to sporting events than anything else. And what you need is not just a fleeting, momentary increasing confidence. You need a sustained build up, and then if it's in place for a while, you'll see the results of it. So in South Africa at the moment, there are a couple of things that are actually feeling a bit better. Now, that sounds quite odd because, geez, there's a plethora of bad news around the politics in South Africa. And I think that bad news is going to get worse as we get closer to the local government election. But if you look at the economy, you take a couple of things. Retail sales actually doing quite well. And it turns out that consumers have a little bit more money because inflation is low. Inflation sits at 3 to 3.5%. People's salaries are going up above inflation and they're spending that money. So there's a little bit more money going into the retail sector. And we're picking up from some of the retailers. They're feeling a little bit more buoyant. At the same time, we've seen that there's an element of credit out there. So there is some access to credit. Obviously, the two-pot withdrawal. I personally am not a fan of the two-pot withdrawal, but what it does is it does give some buoyancy into consumer activity. And then you've had the interest rate cut from the Reserve Bank. And all of that is feeding into a little bit more activity. Throw on top of that the fact that the equity market in South Africa has done exceptionally well, I would regard, this year, 20-odd percent year to date. If you put on top of that what the currency's done in dollar terms, our market is flying. So that also gives us an element of buoyancy. And so you've seen that filter into the business sector a little bit. I don't think it's at the point yet where business decides, okay, now I'm much more optimistic. I'm going to start to flex my balance sheet. I'm going to start to expand and employ. I don't think that we're at that point yet. And there's still a number of issues that business is unsure about. A lot of those relate to the infrastructure environment in South Africa. But it definitely helps us generally. And I'm now expecting that we'll see a bit more upping of maintenance capex. We'll see a little bit more willingness to invest in some of the IT systems, update to use artificial intelligence. All of those things help. And so we've become, at the margin, slightly more optimistic about South Africa's economic outlook. And obviously, we're hoping desperately that we build on this. And in order to build on it, you're going to need more good news on infrastructure development, on some of the big projects that have been spoken about. So it's possible, but we're not there yet.
Kevin, the interest rates that you refer to, obviously, we saw that 50 basis point cut recently. Is that it from the South African Reserve Bank?
So I think it is it for the moment. The Reserve Bank, remember, highlighted in the discussion where they cut rates, the discussion on the interest rate cut was very brief. The rest of the discussion was on the 3% focus. Now, in the ideal world, they would want that to be endorsed by National Treasury. So far, National Treasury hasn't endorsed that. But if you look at the most recent press announcement from National Treasury, it's clear that they're warming up to that, and we feel there's a high chance now they will endorse it on in some format or other. So the Reserve Bank is adamant about achieving this 3% outcome, and they feel that obviously now's a good opportunity to try and push for that, because inflation for the last 10 months has been around the 3% level. And so yeah, historically in other countries, if you've already got inflation at the target and you announce a new target, then you've got a better chance of achieving that target. So I can see the opportunity is right. What it means, though, is that the Reserve Bank is going to be disinclined to cut interest rates from here until they feel that they've got the target. Now, inflation is going to be drifting higher. So I guess most people don't look at these forecasts in detail, but our forecast shows inflation going above 4% by the end of the year. And so it's going to be moving, if you like, in the wrong direction. Now, for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates while inflation's moving in the wrong direction, when you've just said, I want 3% as the outcome, that's a difficult message. The communication from the Reserve Bank would be messy. They would have to try and explain why they're cutting, even though inflation's going up, etc. So the easier path for the Reserve Bank is simply to leave interest rates alone. Clearly, though, if the economy got so weak that it's just obvious that you've got to do something from a central bank perspective to provide some support, then yes, I think they would cut. But for the moment, I think their inclination will be to keep rates on hold and then just see how the inflation data pans out. And if it works out that next year, the inflation rate, yes, has gone up, but it's still surprising on the downside within that upward move, then I think there's scope to cut. So I'm saying rates on hold in the short to medium term.
The other topic that I really want to drill down into today is the private sector's role in the South African economy as we strive to hit that 3% economic growth rate, which seems elusive at the moment. But just noting your recent research note, Kevin, in this space, talk me through what you see the private sector can do to unlock growth in South Africa.
So to me, it's everything. Now, you're going to get into, with a lot of people, you get into an ideology debate, right? Where are you in terms of the role of government versus the private sector, et cetera, et cetera. For me, the reality in South Africa is the government is out of options. The government doesn't have the optionality that it had when Trevor Manuel was Minister of Finance. That optionality back then was that your debt level was incredibly low and your state-owned enterprises were better managed. And you had the flexibility that if back then, when Trevor Manuel was the minister, if you wanted to expand in any particular direction, whether it was rail or ports or electricity, you had the balance sheet strength to do that, right? And so then, yes, you would naturally have a bigger role for government or the public sector in that type of environment. But as time has gone on, we've wrecked these balance sheets. Government doesn't have the scope, doesn't have the flexibility. And government is now admitting that. It's not like that is any sort of really wild statement. And the SOEs, we know their credit ratings are terrible. They can't raise finance in their own name easily, etc. They need the government guarantee. So that flexibility, that scope, that ability for the public sector, government and state-owned enterprises to drive South Africa's economy, that's gone. It's not an option because you don't have a balance sheet. Yes, you can still have a meaningful role, of course, but you can't be expansive. You can't drive new infrastructure development. So then you have to turn to the private sector, or you have to go to outside agencies. Those outside agencies would be the World Bank, maybe even the IMF, etc. And I would say that's not your first choice. Your first choice should be turn to the South African business community. The business community has been very conservative. They have low levels of debt. Their debt level is the lowest in 19 years. It sits at 31% of GDP. Most big corporates are not highly indebted. They sit on a decent balance sheet, a bit of cash, etc. So they can leverage their balance sheet. And they've been reluctant.
Let me come in here. Absolutely. They can leverage their balance sheet. But given the level of uncertainty from a political environment, are they open to leveraging their balance sheets right now? Shouldn't they be holding back those coffers For emergency status.
So that's what they've been doing, and they're not open to leveraging their balance sheet. So they're not going to wake up tomorrow and say, oh, gee, I've got this great balance sheet. Let me invest and expand and employ. It won't happen. I would go as far as to say you could cut interest rates massively. You could halve interest rates. You still won't get that balance sheet leverage because fundamentally they don't have the level of confidence required to leverage their balance sheet, irrespective of the level of interest rates. So how do you then get that balance sheet unlocked? That has to be the key. And the only way to do that, I can promise you, I've looked at this for years, is private-public partnerships. That's the only way to do it. You've got to pick certain sectors, the rail sector, the port sector, and you've got to say, how do I use the state-owned enterprise, being the governor, the ownership of this infrastructure that's been neglected, how do I get them to partner with the private sector, leverage the private sector balance sheet into those projects? And it turns out the private sector is interested. We've seen on the rail side a lot of interest, on the port side there's interest, and quite frankly, the private sector has proven that interest through the electricity sector by investing 15,000 megawatts of solar energy. That only occurred because government deregulated the energy sector and said, okay, you can invest in the energy sector. And the private sector said, thank you very much, and they invested. So when you make the conditions attractive enough, by that I mean you deregulate an industry, you say, let's partner between government and the private sector. Let's set these parameters that the private sector can work with. Let's listen to what the private sector needs in order to invest. You will find that there is investment forthcoming into infrastructure. And once you get that, think of that.
Your message then is to the government, deregulate, yes. Make an enabling environment for the private sector to come and help build the lack of capacity we have across the sectors in the South African economy.
I would go further than that and say that's your only option now. It's your only choice. And while you may not be liking that ideologically, and within the ANC, there are groups of people who don't warm up to that from an ideology point of view, right? But it's your only option. You're out of options, and those options have been taken away because you took government debt from 26% to 76%. That increase meant you've taken away your optionality on using your own balance sheet. Using your own balance sheet would have been ideal. Not an option anymore. Ask the Minister of Finance. He would rather have increased VAT by 2% than take on additional debt. It's not an option. That means your only option is outside agencies, World Bank, IMF, or talk to the local private sector and say to them, under what conditions would you be willing to invest in our rail industry? And that's happening. That discussion's happening. And it turns out there are lots of people interested, and their pension funds, trustees of pension funds who are looking at this saying, yes, we would like a portion of our pension funds to be invested in these assets, but we want to know that this infrastructure is viable, that it's going to be managed properly, that the parameters are appropriate. And I'm saying do that with a high degree of urgency, and then you'll start to unlock that element of the economy. The key thing is once you do that, the rest of the private sector's confidence will go up, because they see the infrastructure being developed, and then they will naturally unlock their own balance sheet. They're not going to just do it simply one day, wake up, interest rates are down a couple of basis points, let's invest. That doesn't happen. It won't happen. We are now at the point where we're out of options except for private-public partnerships.
And I think we're going to close on that note. We're out of options except for public-private partnerships. Look forward to chatting to you again, Kevin, next week as we drill down into all of the themes shaping the economy in South Africa and beyond. Kevin Lings is the chief economist at Stanlib.